Lord, help us to commence with hymn number 993, and we'll sing in the heart as the organ plays. 993, O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in the book of Job and reading chapter 9. The book of Job and the 9th chapter. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called, and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multipliest my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? Now my days are swifter than a post, They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labour I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak, and not fear him. But it is not so with me. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, sacred, and solemn word to us. And may he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, and eternal God, sovereign ruler of the sky, ever gracious, ever wise, help us, Lord, to fall before thee now, at this evening hour as we are gathered together here in these earthly courts. We thank thee, Lord, that we can gather together freely around thy holy word. Oh, but what is this house to me, except thee, the Master, here I see. Lord, do come and make thyself known in our midst this night, granting the unity of thy Spirit, the bond of thy peace, the truth as it is in Jesus, made manifest in our hearts, that we may be softened under the sound of thy holy word, even to hear thy voice. And Lord, we would pray as David prayed, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, that is our solemn desert because of our earthly nature. And Lord, we do not realize it. We do not know it. Our own hearts do not teach us in and of ourselves. But we pray for the teaching of thy Spirit to reveal the truth concerning our solemn state as wretched, guilty sinners before thee, and to cause us to cry and plead for thy mercy, and to know, Lord, those answers that thou alone canst give, our pardon to be sealed, our peace with thee, our God. O Lord, may none of us here tonight be strangers, left out of the knowledge of this redeeming love. Lord, who make it the object of our first desire, Jesus, crucified for me. And so we come, Lord, this night, guilty of many sins, day by day, hour by hour. Lord, we cannot control the sinful nature that wells up from our hearts, affecting our thoughts, our words and our deeds, and many have been our sins this day, and we do not know what they have all been. We remain so ignorant of that which we are. But Lord, we would seek thy mercy. God, be merciful to each one of us, a guilty sinners. For thou knowest all our iniquity. Thou knowest all of our sins. Lord, were they not laid upon Jesus Christ to bear them away, to blot them out, as it were, as a thick cloud, and to remember our sins no more. Oh, we plead that precious name, that sin-atoning blood. Lord, make it that heartfelt cry and prayer from each one of us. And Lord, may we know what that publican knew, to be justified. Oh, declared righteous in thy most holy sight, through Christ who was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. O Lord, reveal again and again the sweetness, the solemnity, the blessedness of these sacred truths. For without the knowledge of them, we shall perish in that terrible lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. O Lord, do exercise our hearts and our minds. Lord, that am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood. Lord, hear the prayers of those that seek earnestly for the confirming of their soul's salvation. Each one here, Lord, this evening, oh, may each of us come to know assuredly that sacred truth as it is in Jesus, to believe on him by precious faith, to embrace that sacred truth that Christ died to save sinners from their sins. And, oh, Lord, may we have that good hope of eternal life through that saving grace, that our religion is not just formal and cold and outward and legal, but of the true religion, where these truths are known and they are felt. Lord, may we live in thee and unto thee each day. And now may we worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, we need thee every hour. We need thee to guide us. We need thee to hold up our goings in thy path, lest our footsteps slip not. Lord, we need thee as our constant companion. We need thee as that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We need thee to support us as we lean upon thee, to lead us forth by the right way, that continual way that is everlasting, leading unto that city of habitation, that place in glory, that city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Oh Lord, may that be our end here upon this earth. Our last end to be peace, to be with Christ, which is far better. O Lord, again and again raise us above earthly things, where we can look on and to look up to where Christ hath gone before us, to prepare that place reserved in heaven for us. So, Lord, witness these things within our hearts, a joy a rejoicing which no man can take away from us. For thy truth, Lord, is a sacred, and nothing can overturn it. Oh, that covenant of grace, once in Christ, in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. Lord, upon this ground we come here tonight, and no other ground of hope. Oh, but to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. Lord, remember each one of us in our earthly pathways. Lord, remember the children and young people. We commend them to thee in these difficult, evil days. So much to assail them. So much to tempt them to leave the ways of thy truth. So much, Lord, to entice them into the ways of unrighteousness. O Lord, strong is the spirit of Antichrist and of ungodliness in this day thou hast appointed us to live. But we pray thou wilt be their keeper. Lord, we commend them unto thee, that in all aspects of their lives, daily, at home, in education, at work, Lord, wherever they have to go, Lord, thou wilt be a shield round about them and preserve them from all evil, from all harm, physically and spiritually, from all dangers, oh, that are so open in these evil days. Lord, be the blessing of their souls. Call them by thy grace. May they know the sweetness and power of thy redeeming love. May they know that they are born of God and that their treasure is above. Supply their needs daily, Lord, in all aspects. Lord, remember those in education and those who have been greatly concerned in the absence of their exams and the grades which have been allocated to them, which has caused so much confusion. Lord, their times are in thy hand. Hear their prayers, and Lord, do not hinder the path in which thou wouldst have them go, but prosper their way. May they know and prove thy good hand to be upon them. Lord, do be with them in friendships, acquaintances, in the marriage bond. Lord, in the having of children, bringing them up. Lord, we commend all to thee of the growing race, Lord, the younger race of this world. Lord, may they know the same liberties of worship that we have known all our days. Lord, give wisdom to our Parliament. Oh, that they do not hinder the freedom we enjoy even this night. And may thy word still go forth a free course and be glorified. Lord, we thank thee for the Bibles that have been taken from the steps of this chapel. Lord, do use them to the blessing of each soul that has taken them and doth read them. Lord, be with each of us in our daily ways, our daily steps. Lord, thou knowest the way that we take. Remember those, Lord, that have many responsibilities, duties, in business, Lord, in the community, or whichever pathway they walk, we pray for needed wisdom and all needed grace, that they may do and speak that which is right in thy sight, and do prosper their way. Remember any that are sick, Lord, any that have pain and afflictions that hinders them in the common tasks of life. Lord, do hear their prayers and prayers put up to thee by loved ones. And oh, may they know strength sufficient for each day even a healing, Lord, thy healing touch. Can it be thy will? And sanctify all such afflictions, Lord, spiritually, to the good of the soul. That, Lord, thou art able, under solemn dispensations, or to speak pardon, to speak peace, to be that unseen guest ever at hand. O Lord, do make thyself known to those that call upon thee in the time of their need. Lord, we pray for those who are bereaved of loved ones. One, Lord, taken who was in membership here some years gone by. Taken, Lord, from the Bethesda home, and we pray for help to be given to her wider family in all that has to be done and arranged in these difficult days for her burial. O Lord, thou knowest those that are thine, those that lived in thy tender fear. Lord, are they not called up higher to be with thee forevermore? Lord, be with others who have solemnly lost loved ones. Be with the widows and the fatherless. O Lord, we know not when such time shall come for us. But we know there will be an end. And we know not what another day shall bring forth. O Lord, exercise our hearts in these solemn things, that we may be able to consider our latter end. For we know not when it is. But, O Lord, give us a sweet assurance. It is well with our souls. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must that work perform. It is all of thy grace. So, Lord, and what we have prayed for the blessing of our soul. Oh, do grant it in power, the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. We ask thy blessing, Lord, on all that is attended to here. Remember the deacons and the church. Lord, grant that sweet unity of thy Spirit amongst them. Hear and answer their prayers. Lord, the exercise regarding the fervence of the gospel here. Lord, the power of thy Spirit attending thy word. The bringing forth of thy fruit, that fruit to thine honour and glory. O Lord, do hear and answer each petition. Lord, bless the ministry of the gospel to that end, and Lord, the engagements which are to be fulfilled, can it be thy will for the remainder of this year? And Lord, the engagements that have been made, if it can be thy will for the coming year. O Lord, do own and bless and grant thine approbation upon all these things. Lord, can it be thy will? Oh, is there not a need for a settled ministry here? Lord, oh, do grant that exercise and direction and a unity in it, and one whom thou shalt appoint to be drawn to such a place as this. Lord, to it all shall adown to thine honour and to thy glory. So, Lord, we pray for others in this nation, the churches, thy people, and throughout the world. Lord, be mindful of every gathering together in thy name. And remember those who fear to gather together because of the power of their enemy. Lord, there are many atrocities we hear of and read of in different countries of this world. Oh, Lord, do be mindful of thy people. Deliver them from their enemies. Stand between them as thou didst Israel and the Egyptians by the Red Sea. that one does not come against the other. And let thy people have that assembling together to the glory of thy name. O Lord, these things are in thy power. Nothing is too hard for thee. And bless the ministry of the word through those thou hast sent forth to preach it in other lands. Lord, to the poor, the needy ones, but hungering and thirsting after thy righteousness. We pray, Lord, thou would shield us from the virus that has affected the whole world. Lord, we thank thee where we have been shielded. We thank thee, Lord, where those affected have recovered. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt even use it to bring many to realize that thou art God. And we are subject to thine almighty power. O, use it, Lord, to the glory of thy name, and give wisdom to our parliament. Turn them aside from all things that are wrong. Lead them in the ways that are right. Lord, do make them bold and strong in those things which are in accordance with thy word for the laws of our land. And turn them aside from the ways of evil and the abominations that so many do try to promote. Lord, do still be mindful of us. Still be a God of mercy to us. Still be the God of this our nation. And Lord, as we turn to thy word, and as we further read through the hymn, Lord, we do pray, thou wilt now exercise our hearts aright. Open them as thou didst Lydia's heart, and may there be the sound of thy voice to have a gracious effect within and upon us each. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 184. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184.
Thank you. in complete dependence upon our Lord, the only true, living, and merciful God. May he open up to us the sacred truth of his holy word to each one of us tonight. As I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter which we read in the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 12. The book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 12. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Particularly these last three words. What doest thou? Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Dear friends, these are the words of Job concerning the solemn hand of God upon him. When we read through the book of Job, the account seems a great mystery. Why should God so deal with one of his faithful children? Why should God put such a righteous one as Job into the hand of Satan? Was there no other way that Satan's accusations before God concerning Job could have been answered? Dear friends, our finite minds, our thoughts and our own intellect, they go that way, don't they? None of us can find out God. We read at the beginning concerning Job, how he had grown up, obviously born as a child, brought up and was married, had children, prospered in business to where he had many possessions. He was a praying soul. He loved his children. He cared for them. He prayed for them, lest they should have committed iniquity. Dear friends, are not many of us like that? Job wasn't perfect in his own self. Otherwise he would never have said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He knew what it was to be redeemed, to be a purchased possession, to be a child of God. And before God, yes, he was then righteous. Oh, how we find the things, the truth concerning Jesus in these Old Testament books, revealed to the Lord's people by faith. There's no doubt Job was a child of God, a redeemed child of God. And Satan accused him that if God took away all his earthly benefits, he would curse God to his face. And God put Job into Satan's hands to take away all that he possessed. But dear friends, that solemn dispensation was to prove that Satan was a liar. Oh, Job did not know it, did he?
He did not know why all these things had come upon him. He spoke many things to these three friends, or these three accusers, as we might call them. And our text is one of them. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? He is mighty, he is almighty. He does as he pleases. But you know, dear friends, in that deep dispensation, in that deep trial of Job never lost the power of the grace of God towards him, did he? Or the power of faith through the gift of the Holy Spirit. How else could he say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dear friends, by nature we can't say that in solemn dispensations, can we? Oh, Job, the loss of those beloved children, let alone his possessions, and then his own health and strength, and the temptation of his wife, curse God and die. That's what Satan wanted him to do, wasn't it? Dear friends, do remember that those children were the children of Job's wife as well. The only difference was the exercise of grace and of the power of faith by the Spirit in Job. That without that he could not have withstood all that he came to suffer. And we find, don't we, because we have the end from the beginning, that God never left Job. We read the latter end of Job was better than his beginning. But in the midst of all this trial and all this sorrow, all this dispensation, sorrowful as it is, and painful and distressing, who can say unto him, what doest thou? What doest thou? In that 23rd of Job, Job declares, he, God, performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. He performeth, not Satan. God performs all these things for me, and many such things are with him. Now, dear friends, if you are a child of God, it is the same with you. It's the same with me. He performs all that is appointed for us. Every moment of every day. He teaches and leads us forth. Yes, by the right way. Many such things are with him. He knows the way we take, because our way is his way. Our times are in his hand. Dear friends, can we reply against God? Our own hearts will, and they do, don't they? When things come to pass which are against ease and comfort of our mind and of our flesh, when his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. What doest thou? Friends, we have to realize continually, don't we, that he is the potter and we are the clay. We have that analogy in one or two places in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was sent down to the potter's house to see the work that the potter did. And he says, is not Israel as the clay in my hands? His people are the clay in his hands. He is the potter. Dear friends, he forms a people for his praise. But the way that he forms his people for his praise is in accordance with his sovereign will. And dear friends, if he's to form a people for his praise, then we're to lose the praise of many other things. The praise of the vanities of this world. The praise of our own selves. The praise of all that of our achievements. The love of the lusts that are within us in our nature. We're to lose many things. We're to be shaped. We're to be formed. To become a vessel of his mercy. One that shall appraise him above all other things. Dear friends, we read this again and again, don't we? What doest thou? Forming a people for his praise. We don't have it by nature, do we? No. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity, we will not have this man to rule over us. We will not have God to rule over us. We will not have the things of Christ and the blessings of his free and sovereign grace rule over us. Our desire is to go our own ways, as Asaph did. He desired, didn't he, to go the way of the wicked. All the temptation, even today, we see the riches of this world and the so many things of the ways of it, and oh, there's our desire through our evil hearts. That way is much better than my way of seeking unto the word of God, and his word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Oh, dear friends, as we grow up, and I've grown up in younger days, how we made our own thoughts, didn't we? Our plans, our schemes, and what we were going to do. Yes, we do devise our way. What a mercy when the Lord directs our steps. He has to change our ways into his way. And that can bring us into solemn dispensations. Oh Lord, what doest thou? It's a mercy. It's a mercy if the Lord works in us, in our ways, to bring us to a solemn realization of what we are as a guilty sinner. As he did Asaph, who went into the house of God on another occasion, and the Lord showed him the end of the wicked. But dear friends, some of the Lord's teachings may be more solemn and deeper than that. The Lord knows what we have need of before we ask. And we don't ask, do we? In and of ourselves. We need the leading and the teaching of his Spirit. And the harder our heart, dear friends, the stronger the hand of God may be risen against us. To break our hearts, to make them soft. And to fall before him, pleading for his mercy. O Lord, what doest thou? Dear friends, do we know this night the hand of God, the solemn, sovereign hand of God that has been in our pathway, to bring us with softened hearts to the footstool of his mercy? Then they're parts of his ways, aren't they? To lead us forth in the right way, that we may at the end come to a city of habitation. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. We read in the word of God that where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Now, one of the mighty kings of the scriptures was Nebuchadnezzar. And he had great power. He may have thought he had power of in and of himself, in all the great victories in battle that he won. But his power was of God. And he had to be taught that. The Lord taught him that. Yes, when Daniel was there in the captivity, Nebuchadnezzar was taught regarding the kingdoms of the world, wasn't he? How God organizes and plans and schemes and has foreordained everything that is to take place from the beginning to the end of the existence of this world. And he came to acknowledge God. But dear friends, he came to have to know a greater teaching than that. Yes, he had power as a king. But the Lord brought him to that time that where he became, as we might say, insane. And he was banished from being a king. And he was as a beast in the field, eating the grass. When the Lord restored him, Nebuchadnezzar had this testimony. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? What doest thou? Now, friends, the Lord is sovereign, isn't he? He works all things in accordance with his sovereign will. And dear friends, how solemn that word is. His sovereign will. What doest thou? Dear friends, I was brought to this word on the early part of the Lord's Day morning. We've just returned from our holiday. And there we had met on three occasions that previous week with some close friends. On that early hour of Lord's Day morning, the phone rang, and it was our friend Rosemary. She says, I've got some sad news. Bruce has died. Sudden heart attack at the wheel of that car, which then overturned. Thankfully, Rosemary, his wife, now widow and daughter, were unscathed. I could hardly take it in. Lord, what doest thou? Oh, dear friends, what teaching came? Our breath is in the Lord's hand. Every breath we take now, even this night, even in this place, is in the Lord's hand. That was the word, wasn't it, of Daniel to Belteshazzar. When the writing was on the wall, he says concerning that wicked king of the Chaldeans that his breath was in the hand of God. What doest thou? Dear friends, the Lord does his sovereign will, and our lives are in his hand. Oh, what a need there is to be made ready, for we know not what another hour may bring forth. Dear friends, as I sat in the vestry here, I realized, oh, that family were here in this place a few Lord's days ago, there with their grandchildren. Who could tell what was to come to pass in those few weeks ahead? He taketh away. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Dear friends, does this not make us fear? Fear before God. How often do we walk in his tender fear? How often do we think upon these solemn things? We've come here tonight to the house of God, to his word of truth. Our expectation is to go home to places where we are. Children to return to school or their education, wherever that is. To back to business, back to our daily lives. Tomorrow to be as we expect, and the weeks to come, the months. Oh, dear friends, how solemn that is, that word, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. Oh, may the Lord ever make us mindful, conscious, and to consider him who endured the cross, despising the shame, who bore the contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. Oh, dear friends, do not speak against the hand of God that may solemnly come upon you in your path. Some of you have had the solemn hand of God upon you in your path, haven't you? Was there not a purpose in it? Dear friends, the hand of God upon his people, the solemn hand is, as I've already mentioned, to draw them, first and foremost, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things in second place to be added to us. Yes, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is a good and gracious God. We do receive of his benefit. We do receive of many providential mercies. Have we got not abundance in our lives today? Oh, how he has permitted us to possess. But do we possess the one thing needful, without which we shall perish? Then it's to be the object of our first desire, isn't it? Jesus, crucified for me. And dear friends, if the solemn hand of God is upon you, drawing you to that place, that low state, where out of the depths you have to cry for his mercy because you're such a sinner, then, dear friends, one day you will praise him for it and bless him for it. And then as he leads you forth, in the continuing way, as he spares your life upon this earth, there'll be many a time you will say, Lord, what doest thou? What doest thou? And why is that? Because we're in need of much teaching. There's nothing that teaches like the Lord. David said, no, yes, it's his psalm, isn't it? The word of the Lord came to him after the Lord had blessed him and delivered him and pardoned his sin. I will lead thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. David needed keeping. David was a sinner. He had a sinful heart, didn't he? He sinned on more than one occasion. He testified, great is mine iniquity. But dear friends, the Lord kept him. And he brought him through some solemn dispensations, didn't he? And some of them were chastenings because of his sin. That's how the Lord teaches us, isn't it? So often, his chastening. And under those chastenings, we may often say, Lord, what doest thou? Oh, dear friends, we need to be taught what we are of ourselves more and more, that deep inlying sin and pride and self-righteousness. And poor Job, he felt he was being dealt with far more than what his sins deserved, didn't he? Elihu later on speaks against Job for things he'd spoken unadvisedly concerning his purity and his righteousness. And this solemn dispensation he brought Job to say, "Behold, I am vile, and I repent in dust and ashes." He grew in the grace, didn't he, and the knowledge of God. He said, "I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." A greater understanding, a greater knowledge of God. And dear friends, you know, from the day we are called by grace, we need to grow in that grace. And that's not our work, is it? No. He that hath begun a good work in us, he will perform. He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, unto the day when we are called up higher. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Dear friends, I shall always remember the time, one day, of my pride, when I felt I was so much healthier and stronger than others of my age. And I declared it unto my wife, "Oh, there's not many my age could have done that, is there?" And 2 days later, cut down with chest pains, hospital, "You're having a heart attack." So went up the investigation into my heart. They found nothing there. It was all right. I opened Scriptures the next morning, Psalm 118, "He hath chastened me sore, but not given me over unto death." O Lord, what doest thou? Solemn dispensation, but mercy. What doest thou? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Dear friends, we still need many such teachings. It isn't just one here, it's again and again. Oh, if we do not know the chastening of the Lord, under which we may often say, "Lord, what doest thou?" If we do not know those such times, then are we not bastards and not sons? For the Lord loveth those. He chasteneth those whom he loves. To keep us by the apple of his eye, to keep us as the apple of his eye. To keep us in that narrow way where we're completely dependent upon that grace and that mercy for the blotting out of all our transgressions. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Dear friends, at times there may be solemn things in our lives of which we cannot understand at all. But the Lord knows. And it may be quite a while before he comes to our understanding. We have the case, don't we, in the scriptures of Joseph. The Lord spoke to him. A promise. A prophecy. A revelation. Jacob's sons would bow down to him. And yet those brothers, they sought to kill him, and they nearly did. It was prevented only by the hand of God, who had a purpose in all this thing, even though it was a solemn dispensation, that Joseph was sold into the hands of those Ishmaelites. And how he must have suffered all the way down those hundreds of miles into Egypt. He wouldn't have been riding comfortably on a camel, would he? He would have been in shackles. He'd been walking. He would have been tired. He would have been dragged along, maybe. And then to be sold as a slave. Oh, Lord, what doest thou? taken away from his beloved father, taken away from his land, as it were seemingly taken away from any hope of the promise, of the prophecy. Dear friends, what a deep place Joseph came into. And then being falsely accused, he behaved himself, you know, dear friends, under these solemn dispensations. How it's important how we conduct ourselves, still in the fear of God. Joseph behaved himself wisely, didn't he? And it helped him. As he was a servant for Potiphar. When it's a servant to that one who bought him. And then falsely accused by his wife, was cast into prison. Innocent. How did he know that being in the king's prison, where only the king could release those prisoners, how did he know the king knew him there? He was out of sight of all things. What a low state he came. Oh Lord, what doest thou? Separated, as it were, from all hope. And he was there for a number of years. You know, dear friends, the Lord doesn't always work quickly, does he? These solemn dispensations can last and last and last months, years. Perhaps some of you know of them now. But all the times are in the Lord's hand. He's a wise, almighty God. He is working yet all these solemn things for good. Not only for Joseph himself, who, through the Lord's ways in which that butler suddenly remembered the Joseph who could interpret dreams through the wisdom of God upon him. The king having that dream. Calling of the Joseph out of the prison. In the evening, the second in command of Egypt. The famine. There were 7 years of plenty. There was still a number of years to go. Then the 7 years of famine. The first year came down his brothers. He dealt with them quite solemnly, didn't he? But they came to fall before him. They feared Joseph because he was the one in power. But there was the one full of mercy. Ye meant it for evil, God meant it for good. It was not ye that sent me to Egypt, it was the Lord. Working all things together for good, for the sake of his people. Jacob, whom he loved, poor Jacob, who at that time was saying, all these things are against me. They were all yet in the hands of God. His Joseph was still alive. Jacob and his sons and all their family would have the freedom of Egypt and all the plenties of the food, whilst the others were struggling to survive. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Dear friends, your dispensation, your solemn state, your difficulties, your troubles. Oh Lord, what doest thou? He's working these things together for good. The good of his people, the good of his cause, and for your spiritual good. Oh, how Joseph came to know the power and the blessedness and the goodness of God. And so did Jacob. That's not the only account in Scripture which tells of these truths, is it? The sovereign will of God. The solemn hand of God. And yet that which to us in our finite nature would seem to be death, destruction, despair, turns out to be in a good and a gracious consequence which we could never have thought of. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. In fact, we're surrounded at this time in these difficult days, aren't we, by this virus. And how we can say regarding the circumstances of tonight, Lord, what doest thou? Why have these things come? The Lord has caused it to come. Many may look at that place in Wuhan in China and say, oh, it was released from a laboratory there. But what were they doing there in that laboratory? How did it escape? Dear friends, everything was in the Lord's hand. And we read in the Psalms, don't we, how, oh, the wicked become ensnared by the works of their own hands. Used of the Lord to overturn all the economies of the world, to put in the fear, put in great, in all mankind, the fear of death. And death has been brought about. Is there anyone throughout the world who has not been affected by that which has come to pass, as it were in a moment? All the plans, all the schemes, all the wicked desires of many, they've had to be overturned as well, haven't they? But dear friends, also it's affected us in the house of God. Oh, for a time, the law of the land said there was to be no gatherings together. I know many people said we should have ignored that law. Of course, the word of God says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Dear friends, under the normal times of freedom, well, that is so the case. We must not forsake the gathering of ourselves together when we can. But are we not under the chastening of God? Are we not under his solemn judgment? And what did the Lord say to Jeremiah, to Judah? They were to fall under the hand of the Chaldeans and not fight against it. And dear friends, we're to submit ourselves, aren't we, under the mighty hand of God. He's caused it to come. He's caused those governments, those rulers to make those plans and schemes. They're in his hand. Is to bring us to humble confession. Is to bring us to nothing. Is to bring us to where we confess our sins. Oh, what have we been over the years? Have we been neglecting to walk by faith, dependent upon our God? Have we been satisfied with the material things? Have we trusted in them more than God? Have we complained when those things have gone wrong and discomfort has come in the flesh and God has not been in all our thoughts? Well, what was the accusation of Jesus to the church at Ephesus? They were very upright from what he describes to John on the Isle of Patmos. But ye have left your first love. Ye have left your first love. Oh, what an accusation. Then, dear friends, have these times come to make us realize what our first love is and what our first love should be, and to bring us humbly again to his feet, pleading for that forgiveness, pleading for that sin to be removed, to worship him fully in spirit and in truth. Christ first, Christ last, Christ all in all. Oh, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? What will say, who will say unto him, what doest thou? Dear friends, Almighty God still reigns. The Lord reigneth. Let us ever be mindful of that. Let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. If he's begun a good work, dear friends, he cares for you. There may be many trials and we may fall through the weakness of our flesh. But he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. And he will cause us and draw us again through his solemn dispensations to fall before him, to keep us in that narrow way, that right way, that leads unto eternal life. If just one thing that comes to me before I close. When we were on holiday, we went, did quite a bit of walking. And we walked from the place, the little cottage where we were staying, down quite a number of miles to the most southerly part of England, the Lizard Point. The actual booklet said it was strenuous. There were many difficulties. But the path was straight, the path was narrow and the path was well defined. But we had to be very, very careful watching our steps. There was rocky patches, there were steep places, there were steep inclines, there was different ways which we have to seek the right way to go and so forth. But let me leave that. When we came to the end, after that strenuous journey which we had endured to the end, I could give myself no praise. It came to me how much harder it was for those who made the path than it was for me to have walked it out. And my mind went to Christ in the way that is everlasting, which we walk out, yes. Oh, how easily we can slip and slide, and how we need keeping in the right way. But how harder it was for Christ to make that way in which we are called to walk. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Shall Christ my Lord suffer? Shall I repine? He guiltless, holy, pure, yet took upon himself the sins of many. Our sins, if we are called into that pathway. Tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin. Yet whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is the way everlasting of which he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. Dear friends, what a hope. Therefore, dear friends, every step of that way, you're in the hands of God. Every step of that way, Christ is with you. Every step of that way, he's not dealing with you after your sins, or rewarding you according to your iniquities. There may be these solemn dispensations, but they're for the purpose of teaching us, keeping us, leading us in the right way, strengthening us in faith as we commit all our way unto him, trusting also in him, for him to bring it to pass. To bring what to pass? Our end of everlasting peace. Oh, dear friends, the days, the moments, the hours through which we pass, they're still in the hands of God. They're in accordance with his divine will and purpose. And his thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us an expected end. An expected end. Oh, Satan may try to pull us down from that grace. He didn't succeed with Job. He will not succeed with you. Once in him forever, none can ever pluck thee, says Jesus, out of my hands. None can ever pluck thee out of my hands. I am my Father and one. But he will take away from us the love of self. He will take away from us the love of the world. He will take away from us the love of carnal things. That it's Jesus only, looking unto him. And when we come to that day, to awake in his likeness, and shall be satisfied. O Lord, what doest thou to make my end everlasting peace? Amen.
God willing, Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Robert Field on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. 667.
Do bless thine own word. Cause it to abide in our hearts. Lead us forth by the right way. Humble us under all solemn dispensations. and give us thanks for every mercy. Lord, watch over us as we separate. Remember those unable to be here tonight. Watch over them and keep them in thy care. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.